The Sentai Review, episode 112, The Ratings of Super Sentai. Welcome back to the Sentai Review. This is another episode with the cameras and the people, and you can see them and the things, because we're still working on the possibility of some live casts in the future. And there's Seth's hand. Okay. Reploid Bill William Bush.
Seth Lovell Sario.
Scott Action Jackson.
Shane McCree Proto Guy.
Hey guys, I know you're about to get your podcast on, so I'll be quick. If at any time you feel like dropping your own opinion into what we're talking about, head on over to FandomNight.com and all of the contact information for every single one of our shows, including the one you're about to watch, is there. Alright guys, I'll leave you alone.
Alright, now, right before we were about to start this, we were talking about possible topics to discuss on this conversation, and Seth found something that's pretty cool, so we're actually going to go through this list real quick, because I actually believe that this will be an interesting piece of conversation. Now, I was about to put these in order, but then I got to thinking about it, and I'm going to leave them alone. And the reason I'm going to leave them alone is because these are in a certain kind of order already. These are in order of their actual releases in Japan, and then they're rated by their viewership in Japan. So this list is pretty neat. So we're just going to cut through these, I guess, as quick as we can, or whatever you want to reference that as. Now, Seth, you found this list. What is the 16.094? Is that their overall viewership rating?
I want to say it's still based off of the exact same viewership rating that we have here in America, meaning...
Right.
If I remember correctly, so like, okay, with Go Rangers being at the 16
well,
point...
Don't do it yet. Don't just okay. What's the rating about is what I'm asking you.
Well, like I said, when it comes right down to it with, you know, them being at the 16, for every point, that means million.
Okay.
So...
So that's how many like people said, tuned know, in and actually watched yeah. it as it was. Okay. All right. Then here we go. Okay. The first item on this list, of course, is the Go Rangers, because this is in order of the Sentai as it released and the viewership that corresponds to it. Go Ranger came in with 16.094, and that puts it at first place as the most viewed Sentai ever released, top rated, I guess.
Yep. Yep, which, you know, sounds about right. It's the first time for, you know, that type of show.
What was that?
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah?
Hmm. Well, think about it. In 1975, I don't live in Japan, so I can't answer this, but how many shows were like that?
Comedy shows?
No, how many shows were like...
Oh, I thought you said comedy shows. Oh, yeah. No, you're right.
So...
Yeah, but then again, I guess okay, for here, that's easy to say. For over there, I don't know, because you're talking 1975. They might have been in the martial arts craze.
Yeah, and, there was those Kamen Rider before then. So.
Yeah, Kamen Rider had already happened, and they have things like they have things like Kakaider and things like that are running around rampant and everything.
Now, I don't know a lot about, you know, Japanese, older Japanese shows. We're talking, this is 75. Was there a show? Because when you guys were talking about, I know what Kamen Rider is, that's one guy.
But there's also Spider-Man. Spider-Man had already happened.
But was there a show in Japan during the mid-70s that had five color coordinated superheroes?
Yes. Probably not in the same idea, but there had to be because of the guy that created it. Because that's pretty much, that dude built his career off this concept. Okay. He did all those things like Cyborg 009 and shit like that. He's responsible for the Kamen Riders and all of this that pretty much formed the tokusatsu. And if you want to get technical, tokusatsu stuff was kind of put in motion because of Godzilla.
Yeah.
Godzilla came out way before.
Because Godzilla came out and when the script and everything was received by the dude to do Godzilla, they were like, hey, you're going to film this movie. And at first he said, okay, yeah, so stop motion and giant, you know, dinosaur and everything like that. And then he got to looking at the time that they'd given him and the money that he had, and he was like, this movie is impossible. It can't be done. And so he had to create an entire new concept of how to make this work. So he said, well, what if the guy was in a suit? And we'll build miniatures, and maybe we'll slow the footage down so they seem more massive because they move slow and they got that feeling to them, and he can break miniatures and things.
Kind of like they would do a claymation?
Yeah, no. No, claymation is picture. What they do in the tokusatsu stuff is that Godzilla, they put this guy in a big rubber outfit, built a miniature stage, so it looked like he was in a city and that he was bigger than the city. And then he would, like, walk into a building or slap something. And then they would take that footage. They would film it in a specific lens to make him look, you know, big. Okay. Yeah. And then they would slow the footage down. So when he swung, it was like a type of thing. And then he created the thing. And tokusatsu, roughly, tokusatsu is special effects cinema, like mass special effects cinema. Pretty much, the entire thing, the only reason you're really watching it is for the effects. Like, the closest thing that we would have nowadays in terms of American cinema, if you want to rate something as tokusatsu, it might be Transformers. Because that entire movie from start to finish is about giant special effects from one side to the next. Unlike Star
Pacific
Trek.
Rim?
Yes, Pacific Rim. Yeah, the entire movie is special effects. All of it, start to finish. Without the special effects, the movie can't even work. That's basically the reason you're there. You go to a Star Trek movie, there are special effects, but 80% of what's going on is about the people, the actors. Where in tokusatsu, like especially you watch things like Kamen Rider and things like that, it's all about special flash kick and awesome motorcycle and explosions, and it's all special effects cinema.
Explosions.
What about Tron? Because that's a lot of
It's really
effects.
It's really hard to tag this down because also tokusatsu has fallen into the idea of giant monsters, but that is not actually the reference point of what it is, because Android Kakiter is considered a tokusatsu, but it has nothing to do with giants.
I think in a way Tron could be.
Right. Right, you could make the argument, because it is. The whole point of the movie is special effect. From start to finish, it's all about flashy costumes and the lines and the crazy background, and it's a feast of the eyes. Power Rangers is that. Power Rangers is bright colors, it's explosions, it's a guy in a rubber suit. Tokusatsu is doing the most extreme special effects cinema that you could possibly do, but there's a cheesy budget line to it. So in order to save money, you put a guy in a rubber suit instead of doing a big CGI scene like our Transformers. So those dudes would have been guys in box suits.
So like how Troma did some of their early stuff and maybe some of the present stuff.
Right. So it's basically the largest scale of special effects that you can get, but you budget line the special effects. So there's a little bit of cheesiness to tokusatsu stuff. That's why, like, you have the Kamen Rider, okay? He's mechanical in his nice foam suit.
Okay.
He's a cyborg. You kind of got to buy into some of the special effects of that. And the way you do that is because everything's exploding, and he shoots lasers, and he does super retarded kick, and he chops guys in half, and, you know...
Yeah, crouching Cash-Earn, tiger Cash-Earn hidden dragon Sin. Wire work flip kicks at a motherfucker.
Like okay. Cash-Earn.
Yeah.
He's Tokusatsu. He's a robot. When you see him in his movie, it's very obviously kind of like a more plasticky costume, and we just kind of run with it. It's hard to explain exactly what Tokusatsu is, and that's because as the years have gone on, just like horror movies, there are divisions inside of it now. Tokusatsu yep. started as Godzilla. Somehow now it's mainly referenced as Power Rangers and Metal Warriors and things of that sort. But it didn't start there. So originally the idea for Tokusatsu would have been giant creature things. But that's not true anymore because you do like the Kamen Rider, he's not fighting giants. But it's still considered in the same genre.
I just call Godzilla movies kaiju movies.
And they are now. There was a reason for that. Because just like here in America, we had horror films. But then we also had slasher films. But then we also had thriller films. And these are all in the horror genre, but they're separated by subgenres inside of that genre. But roughly
like
speaking...
psychological or... Nowadays, with the fucking found footage where some asshole set up a handy cam and recorded everything.
Right. But very roughly speaking, Tokusatsu is a mass special effects feature that is usually a series. Usually.
Well, then I can't tell you. Maybe back in 75, there wasn't a lot on TV.
No, I'm thinking it was going off the hype of the other shows. You know,
right.
We all said, Kamen Rider was already going, you know, you got Cyborg, you got, you know, all the others going, oh, well, let's see what the next thing is. Super
but now
Sentai,
you've got
cool,
five of these
out.
Guys.
There's
five of them, and there's a team.
Was Astro Boy in Japan? Was that Japanese?
Yes, Astro Boy existed at this point. I'm 100% sure of
it. Yeah, he's an older, he was around in the, God, 50s? Yeah.
At least. Was a black and white cartoon, to be fair, man.
Yeah,
I didn't remember if Astro Boy was a Japanese show or if that was like an American made show.
Okay, so here's the next one. JAKQ finished at 9.752, coming in at 12th place.
Wrong.
Holy crap!
I know. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Now here's the thing though to keep in mind. This is a huge list. Okay. 12th place is actually pretty high on the list.
Yep. But the viewership went down.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
But the viewership went down, though.
Oh, yes. Yes, it did. No, there's no doubt about it. Viewership went way down for JAKQ. Yes.
I'm not gonna sit there and claim that it's a great series because I have never seen anything on it. I just like how their costumes look.
Now, after that, Battle Fever J shot up. Because we went to 11.987, landing it in 6th place.
What? Come on, man.
So the Battle Fever J had higher viewership.
It has to be because of story.
I don't know. It could be. People were watching JAKQ, which I know that's not how you say it. That's a running joke. That's what we started calling it. That's what we call it. People may have just simply not liked certain characters. And they may have been like, I'm bored, and they left it.
Right.
Yeah. And maybe there was plenty else to choose from at the time. We don't know. We weren't over there.
No.
Denzaman came in next at 13.475, making them the second highest view.
No. I wonder if there was something about the show, like I said, if, you know, Power Rangers is, you know, for us at least, you know, even their stuff, their Sentai, it's all cheese.
Oh yes, yes.
But they have a lot more serious shit than we do.
Now, if we continue on from there, viewership did go down in the next show. Sun Vulcan landed at 12.468, putting it in third highest viewership.
It only went down a little bit, though.
Right. So we're getting consistent ratings now. So that's good. That means the Sentai is here to stay because you just did Battle Fever J. That had very high viewership. Then you did Denzimon. The view ship went way up. Then you did Sun Vulcan. And you didn't really lose that much, to be fair. And you lost a little bit moving to Goggle V, but still very strong view ship at 12.282, making it fifth.
Yep.
Goggle V.
Yep. Basically, by this point, it found its audience.
Right.
Which is basically what you want in a series.
This
like
will
that.
Continue.
You want to find your audience.
This will continue for a couple of the series. Dynamon will land at 10.520. Making it 10th. After that, we will go to Bioman, and that will land us at 10.547, which puts it at 9th.
Yeah, we're really staying consistent, aren't we?
Yep. Mm-hmm. After that, we'll go to Changeman, which will boost the ratings. We'll go up to about 11.102, giving it 8th place view ship.
All right.
We'll move to Flashman, and ratings will go up again, moving us to 12.290, putting it in fourth place. At this point, we'll go to Maskman. That takes the viewership down a little bit, but still very consistent at 11.380. Liveman will drop viewership a little harsher, putting us down to 10.465. And then viewership will take a massive hit during Turbo Ranger, 7.602, putting it in 16th.
Yep.
One of the worst view ships ever.
At the time, it was the worst. So that was
Shane, you're doing the same thing Nick did. You're thinking Turbo is the American. No, Turbo is the guy with the cars on the helmet.
Yep.
No, I know what this series is. We reviewed it. Well, the costumes. Yeah.
Right.
I'm just
Car Ranger is the one that we screwed up.
Right.
Yep.
Now, Sentai is going to suffer from this point for quite a while. I would assume that hardcore mega shows, like we're talking blow you out of the water shows, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, remember? It owned the world. There wasn't a toy store that didn't have it. Like, it was on every television set. They got a big movie. It was in the comic books. It was huge. Took over our lives. It was on, you couldn't get a fucking cereal spoon that didn't have a Ninja Turtle on it.
Yeah.
That puts viewership, I imagine that viewership is anywhere from 12 to 16 if you want that kind of mega hit.
Okay.
That's what I'm assuming. So think Pokemon in its prime.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I believe that when shows begin to level out and they just have a following, that's probably an area between 6 and 10. And I'm just making reference because this show did not go away with Turbo Ranger, which only hit at 7.602, and was followed by Five Men at 6.490, putting it in 27th. Now, this show is still not canceled, though, because we got Jetman at 7.092, putting it in 20th.
Yep.
And so
in
the
fact,
ratings...
To piggyback off what Bill said, back in high school, my buddy Britt and I... and our friend Craig as well, we would go on to like all the fucking wrestling forums and shit where they'd be like, here's what's going on behind the scenes, check this shit out. And a good portion of the time they would actually show the share numbers, meaning here's what people's watching, like here's what the ratings were.
Right.
Roughly they would sit anywhere between like 6 and 8.
Okay.
For like, you know, the actual ratings. So Bill is correct. Within this range, the show's not going away. It still has dedicated viewers, but at the same time, there's more and more people who are like, I'll turn it on. Man, this one sucks. Turning it off.
Right. And I believe this is common viewership because Jureinja hit at 7.140, putting it in 18th. And then we went to Dairanger, which was 6.954 at 23rd. And then the ratings are going to take a hard, hard hit. Kakuranger is at 5.728.
which means the Japanese audience did the same thing we did. Oh, look, ninjas, next.
And Oranger, which I like, but evidently it was not well received because it hit at 4.452, putting it in 35th.
Ooh. Ouch.
Yes. It was followed up by Car Ranger. Now, Car Ranger, this is another thing to talk about here. The viewership is down at 4.713, but because it was received as a comedy, it kind of saved Super Sentai. People said, oh, that was kind of funny. And for some reason, that one little break in the seriousness of the series brought viewers back. Because then we went to Mega Ranger, which came in at 6.524, putting it in 26th place. Which was followed up by Gingerman, which hit at 7.892, which put it in 14th. Then we went to Go-Go V, which was 6.594, putting it in 25th. Followed by Time Rangers, which was 7.051, putting it in 22nd. Which then gave us a mega boost into Gowranger, which was 8.835, putting us to 13th. Hurricane Ranger, Hurricane Ranger drops a little bit at 7.473, putting it in 17th, but then climbed during Abba Ranger to 7.112. And then we stay fairly consistent with the sevens. Deca Ranger got a 7.080. Magi Ranger got a 7.741. And Bokinger got a 6.712. And then we have another mass fall into the fives with Geki Ranger being at a 5.167, Go-Onger being at a 5.050, Shinkinger being at a 5.920, Go-Siger being at a 5.440, Go-Kiger being at a 4.957.
Yeah.
Damn. So Pirate Rangers were not well received.
No, not at all.
But
ridiculous, because over here that was like some great shit.
This is pretty scary. What I'm about to go through with these numbers. This is actually kind of scary if you really want to stop and think about this. The Go-Kiger, which we think is really, really good. Scott doesn't care for one of the characters, but he would be hard-pressed.
That's just one of the characters. Exactly.
He would be hard-pressed to claim that the series is bad when he watches those fight scenes.
From what I've seen from the episodes we've all seen, I'm like, okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Not liking a character doesn't mean you hate a series. It's just the way it is. So GoBusters comes in at 4.070.
Oof. Ouch.
Kyo Ryuga or whatever. Holy shit. We fell to 3.881. Tokuger came in at 3.793.
Ninja? Yeah, which is some harsh shit.
Yeah.
Which I actually wonder if this is Ninja. But I actually don't know exactly how to say that without hearing them say it.
Nininga.
Right.
Like Shane accidentally saying the wrong thing or something.
But then I know with the Tokuger, they say Tokuger, and that lady on your phone says Teokuga.
Yep.
Anyways, the ninjas, they came in at 3.883. Their battle sashes were not successful.
The trains apparently were.
And now, the last series, this fucking dollar store lion shirt men.
Yep.
They got a 3.388, putting it at the current worst rating ever received in Sentai, putting them in 40th place.
Yep. So last year's guys sucked the big wang.
So if these new guys, these Cute Angel, can't pull this back, we could be looking at a Sentai crash. Like I didn't know this episode was going to do this, but looking at the evidence, the series hit that massive boom. We're talking golden age of comic books, right?
Yep.
Then we kind of span off.
And then we hit Marvel now.
No, yeah, then we hit the hard blocker. The 90s hit us. The 90s hit us, and comic books fell into the fives.
Yep.
And it caused a comic book market crash that, believe it or not, we are still feeling the effects of the comic book market crash today.
Yep.
Yeah.
We really are. It's the reason the comic industry is hit the way it is. Like, sure, everybody sees those movies and everything, and they think the comic book industry is booming. It's not. We are still wounded. We have been wounded since the 90s, seen the comic book crash. We are trying to pull ourselves out of it, and we have fabulous writers that are giving very, very strong material, and hopefully, things like Rebirth, and if Marvel Legacy promises to do what I hope it does, because Marvel Legacy is their answer to Rebirth. They're going to create one book called Marvel Legacy. That book is going to be sold as an event, which will then reconfigure their universe and supposedly bring them back to basics, selling more books that people actually give a shit about, like not necessarily deleting the characters that exist. Like, there's a lot of people that still think the other Thor will still be around, Jane Foster, but the book might actually return to Thor being the worthy Odin's son. And that Spider-Man might return to street level and deal with more New York-esque Spider-Man adventures instead of international S.H.I.E.L.D. espionage war zones with the Green Goblin.
So kind of more classic old-school Spidey.
Yes. And there's supposedly a set of books coming up called The Generations, which is supposed to be, I thought this was an event of sorts. It's a little different. It's kind of interesting. Different characters who are holding the Legacy name are going to experience time jump where they fall back to the Legacy characters. Like in the Jean Grey book, it's already been announced that Jean Grey will be falling back in time to the point where Jean Grey of the Legacy is the Phoenix. So she's going to have a set of adventure books, one or two or three, I don't know how many, where she will be, where the new Jean Grey, who's the 16-year-old time displacement Jean Grey, which is confusing enough, is going to go back in time to her future past future. Here, Shane, let me explain this to you. Beast goes back in time and takes the Jean Grey, who is 16 years old, who's only been in about three comic books, and he takes her to the future today.
Aw, that means she didn't get to meet the Vanisher.
Okay. Now, that Jean Grey is the Jean Grey of the comic books today. She's going to go back in time to where Jean Grey became the Phoenix. So she'll go back in time to her future, which will be the past from where she is, but not necessarily not past enough to be her present where she's supposed to be.
Marvel.
And she will have an adventure.
Come with me if you want to live.
She will have an adventure with that Phoenix. And the X-23 Wolverine, who's running around right now, she's going to be flung back in time to actually have a crossover adventure with the Weapon X Wolverine. So he will be younger, faster, harder. He will either be right on the cusp of joining the X-Men, or he has just joined them. That kind of back in time. So she'll go back to the legacy and spend time with him. And this is supposed to show us where they were and where we are. And it's supposed to build some sort of perspective so that when Legacy happens, a lot of the people that are reading comic books today that don't even really know, like, right now, if you got into comic books like, say 2 years ago, you don't even know about Thor. You know about the unworthy Thor. And you know about Jane Foster. And if I was to say, hey, I love Ms. Marvel, you would say, oh yeah, Kamala Khan? And I would say, what are you talking about? And they'd say, yeah, the shapeshifter girl. And I'd say, no, I was talking about the blonde that's now Captain Marvel. And they would say, I don't know what you're talking about. Because they wouldn't. As new people get into comic books, they don't always read the backlog history. Kind of like if Scott was to try to explain what Spider-Man was for him growing up, if you got in to Spider-Man during the Dan Slott run, which has been a fucking decade now that he's had control of this book,
I'd be missing some pieces.
You would, no. What I'm telling you is that if you tried to explain to a kid that got into the Dan Slott run, say the kid is 16. He's 16. That's not an unreasonable time to be into comic books. But if you're 16 years old, that means if you started reading comic books 10 years ago, you started with Dan Slott. So his Spider-Man that he understands, the Spider-Man that he knows, is the Dan Slott Spider-Man. And that might not be right for you, but for him, that is his Spider-Man. Just like growing up, there are an awful lot of people that were hit real hard by the Adam West thing, because that was their Batman. That's what Batman was in the 60s. Even if you're reading his books, Batman was kind of a goofy, cheesy, tongue-in-cheek action hero. And his books were just as cheesy and tongue-in-cheek as the show that was on television. Yes, the show was playing a satire. And it was supposed to be, you were supposed to watch it as a joke.
Yep.
But
it was the original hipster show.
Right. But at the same time, that is what Batman was at the time. So if you're growing up in that time and that is your Batman, the next, say, 20 years from then, you're watching, you get back into Batman, you go buy some books, and all of a sudden, you're reading the Frank Miller Dark Knight series, and you're like, Batman is so mean, he's a dick, he's an asshole, he's got psychological turmoil, and like, I don't know if I like this fucking Batman, he's too dark.
Oh, and the movies where he's like,
yeah, if you grew up with the Chris Nolan Batman, that's your Batman. Chris Nolan movies, that's a good, 9 years?
Yep.
So it's possible that somebody that's about 16 or 15 years old, Chris Nolan, that's their Batman. Christian Bale is their Batman. And that's how they see him. And that's the reason we have these problems where people are like, hey, Batman's not supposed to kill people. He doesn't kill people. That's not what Batman does. He's never killed anybody. Blah, blah, blah. He won't do it. Blah, blah, guns and blah, blah, Batman.
Go read Frank Miller.
Right, but they say all that shit. And then if you're watching Batman in the movies today and he's killing people, you're going to be mad. You're going to say, well, that doesn't make any sense. Well, it does make sense because Batman has killed a lot of people. Yep. There are many times in the comic books where you could find where he killed people, okay?
He probably didn't want to, but...
He threw guys off the roof. He shot them with machine guns. He used to carry two handguns. He killed people.
Yep.
He would throw grenades, leave guys to drown. Fuck, look at the first movie that Chris Nolan does. He fucking tells Ra's al Ghul, he's like, I don't have to save you. and he just let him fall in a fiery, explodey death train.
I'm not gonna kill you.
You know what that means? He killed him. He's a murderer. If you
go back to Tim Burton, he threw that motherfucker down with the bell.
Right! He threw a guy down the bell.
And the dynamite in the clown's pants.
The dynamite in the guy's pants. You know what he is? He's fucking dead.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's alive, he ain't happy.
If he's alive, he ain't happy. If he's still down there, he ain't happy. Yeah, like...
That's kind of true.
Batman does kill people. But if you grew up watching the Chris Nolan movies... If you're 16, 17 years old, you might be under the mistaken impression that Batman doesn't kill. So when this new, darker, Frank Miller-esque Batman shows up in Batman v Superman, people go crazy and they're like, this isn't right, he shouldn't be killing people. Well, he should. And the reason I just went off on this big tangent taking us in the comic books is because I understand that better to explain where I'm coming from. Comics hit a market crash that is just now starting to recover.
Yep.
It's climbing out of a gutter. It's in trouble. Rebirth has sold, like, comic stores are coming back to life because Rebirth reinvigorated the market.
Yep.
But Rebirth is even starting to lose steam because people are genuinely disinterested in a lot of comic book stuff nowadays. And a lot of these guys that got in that said, I want to do comic books, and they see what's happening in Rebirth, and they're excited, and then they jumped over to Marvel, they may have left comic books almost as fast as they got into it. And it's not just that, but comic books is vast. It's too huge now. It's too huge. Because you figure... There's all these third-party companies, and there's things like Walking Dead and all this other stuff. And, like, there's a book out there. You can name random books that nobody knows. Like, who knows about Beauty? Anybody here know about Beauty? No.
Nope.
That's fine. There's no reason you should. But roughly, it's a really cool third-party comic book where these people, they invent this drug. And you take the drug, and it makes you beautiful. Literally. Like, if you want to look like Jean-Claude Van Damme level body work or whatever, and you don't want to work for it, you can take this drug, and it makes you look all handsome and striking and big and muscular and daring, and you get to walk out there, and you get all the ladies looking at you, and you get to be a pretty guy for a while, and you get to be like, I'm so awesome, so awesome. But the drug kills you. And the entire book is about the struggle of vanity itself and how we want it so bad and we want it right now. That's a good book. It really is. But...
that sounds like something I'd read.
The market is huge. The market is huge. Like, there's no way that you can know exactly what you want, and then you might be under the mistaken impression, well, you know, comic books are superheroes. That's what comic books are. That's not true either.
Hold that thought.
Because comic books continue storylines. Like he's got Fight Club too.
Comic book.
It is.
Well, graphic novel, but comic book. Star Wars, comic book.
Right. Which I guess you could put that.
Void now, but comic book.
No. Darth Vader is actually a really good comic book, and it is 100% canon right now, and it's filling filling in those 20 missing years in between Episode 3 and 4. Right now he's out trying to get his lightsaber, and then, I mean, this is what I'm getting at though, Super Sentai. Probably is drowning itself. Because the comic book industry did it too. Right now, you could watch Kamen Rider. Right now, you could watch the Metal Warrior guys. Right now, you could watch the hundreds of other random shows like the movies and stuff, like Kasher and Sin and things like that, and the animes that have kind of taken up in this area, including Sailor Moon, which, to be fair, like Sailor Moon did the crystal thing, and they kind of came back. There could be a lot of tokusatsu-esque people that went that direction. They're still the same thing. They're multicolored warriors that transform and fight a dumb evil person that if she just would have got off her ass the day Sailor Moon appeared, the show would have been over. If Lord Zedd would have said, I've taken their Zords, I'm going down there, and he'd have gone down there, he would have destroyed all the Rangers. Fucking lightning, 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 okay, I fucking own the Earth now. But he didn't do that. Just like Queen Beryl, that dumb bitch, fucking Sailor Moon shows up on the first day, and she kills one of the monsters, and rather than being like, when the person comes and says, oh, Queen Beryl, one of our monsters got killed, she didn't say, by who? And he says, oh, some sort of sailor something. And she says, you know what? I remember a long, long time ago, there was a set of these scout things that really messed up my plans. Did you say there's only one? And then she would say, oh, yeah, there was only one. Hold on. I'm going to go kill it right now. I'm going to go kill it. Because if I kill it right now, we'll be fine. But no, the bad guys don't do that. They sit around, they wait to die. They wait until the good guy has enough power to actually challenge them like idiots. And Super Sentai, watching these ratings drop, it could be that they're drowning themselves, that they created this type of genre that is now spread across so many different shows and is so vast that maybe it's having trouble drawing new people in, because just like comic books, if I was to tell somebody, Kevin, you would know this, Shane, the reason Kevin does not read comic books, because he can't start at the beginning. Yep. He can't. He doesn't know what's going on, and he doesn't like jumping in the middle of a story.
Oh, that.
Yep.
You're doing the same thing. You refuse to read the Power Rangers comic, even though it's so good, and even though you have all of it, because you would have to start on, like, book 3. But pretty soon, you're going to have to make a decision, because it's either find book 3, or just give up, or just read it, because you are entering the 20s. Like, Power Rangers just keeps putting out books, and now they're about to add another book on top of their books. We've already had two annuals.
Which I should have got.
We've had two annuals, two specials.
I think I've only got one so far.
Yep, there's a second one now. Okay. It's really cool. There's even a really crazy story in there. It's like another collection of small tales, you know what I mean? Like the first annual was. But this one even goes far back to tell Finster's backstory and how Rita found him. And it's really, really crazy. It's like one of the best parts of the whole book.
Yeah, I was about to say, that actually sounds interesting as shit.
Yeah, it's really cool. It talks about he was already kind of a monster when she found him, but he was kind of a closet case. He was doing really evil shit, but he was kind of masking it in like his own kind of lies to justify what he was doing. And it wasn't until she showed up and then some crazy stuff goes down and stuff and things and things and stuff. I won't tell you, but it was
good.
I'd
be curious about that with, like, Scorpina, too.
There's an interesting side story for Scorpina in that book. It's called Scorpina's Day Off or something like that, where her and Goldar – it's pretty funny, and it does actually kind of link into the overall story, but you know how they're married – in the Sentai, but not here in America. They're kind of working towards making them married here in America, where like they spent a day together and they went to like a fair.
Oh God.
A fair?
It's pretty funny, and it's well done, because what's going on is they're told to go find something. I can't remember what. And then they're out there looking for it, and Goldar's getting pissed, and he's like, we're never gonna find this. And she's like, you're right. When we get back up there, she's going to gripe, and she's going to punish us, and I'm tired of it. We can't find it, and I'm not looking for it anymore. And she sits down. And this lady comes up, And she says, excuse me. And Goldar's looking kind of funny because he's like, he's still a big gorilla tarantula man, but he's wearing like a hoodie so he can kind of blend in as well as the Ninja Turtles and the trench coats do into society. And he's sitting on the park bench like all mad and shit. And Scorpina just looks like a lady. And the lady walks up to Scorpina and she's like, would you and your friend want some taffy? And she looks and he's like, I don't want that shit. And she's like, shut up, Goldar. And she's like, yes, I would. And he's like, we have to find so-and-so. And she's like, we're never going to find that thing. And I'm going to go back up to that fucking, if I'm going to go back up to Bandora's palace and get in trouble and punished, then before I go, I'm going to have this fucking taffy. So she walks off into the fair and Goldar's like, well, I'm not just going to fucking sit here on the park bench by myself. So he follows her. And then they end up at the fair and they're looking around. There's all these people doing stuff. And at first, Goldar's kind of against it. He's like, we shouldn't be here. This is dumb. And she's eating this taffy. And she's like, shut up and try this. And he eats it. And he's like, this is fucking great. And as they're walking around, she's like, I'm going to go on this ride or whatever. And he's like, that's dumb. And he looks over and he sees one of these games. And it's one of those hit the thing and the bell goes up. Yeah.
Oh, no. You're talking about – that's a –
The strongman test.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay, now he sees it, and the only reason he wants it is because he sees that one of the prizes is a little Goldar figurine. And so he walks up, and he tells this guy, he says, you! And the guy's like, oh, shit, what the fuck? What is that guy? And he's like, I will have your miniature Goldar, like that. And he's like, okay, well, I mean, that's fine. He's like, all you got to do is you got to take this hammer, and if you can ring that bell, and he's like, boom, and he fucking destroys the shit out of it. And he's like, and the guy's like, fucking take it. And he's like, ah, miniature Goldar, and he's fucking playing with it, and he's like, I'm so great. And it's really short. But it's really great because at that exact time, there's a monster attacking the city. And one of the other monsters runs into the park and sees the two of them, like, hanging out, like, doing fair stuff. And he's like, what are you guys doing? And Goldar's like, you know, if he reports us, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. And she's like, he's not going to report us. We're going to have to do the good guy thing. So they decide to kill Rita's monster because Rita's monster would eventually go back up there and tell on them.
Sounds interesting, actually.
So they become like the anti-hero. Technically the anti-villain.
Yes.
Just they don't get in trouble.
Yes, they become the anti-villain, yes. So during the fight, they're starting to lose. And Goldar has been holding on to that little Goldar the whole fight. And this dude, like, hits him and breaks him. And he's like, tiny Goldar! And he fucking loses his shit and he kills the fuck out of this bad guy. He's like, I will destroy you. So he avenges tiny Goldar. And that's just, like, one of the five or six stories that's in this collection book. Because it's another annual. It's a collection. But it was fun, and there was multiple stories besides that one. There were about five or six of them. But looking at the ratings, I would truly wonder if Sentai is heading towards a crash. Like if the new one that's going right now cannot pull their ratings back up, they could be in serious trouble. And you've been watching it, and you say that it's really good, but let's be honest, our association...
It's technically the first Sentai I've actually watched start to finish.
Right.
Well, finish, meaning, the last newest episode.
So this could be a great show, but it might not be a great show compared to what they feel they grew up with.
Yeah. Well, I was about to say that I bitched about a huge team before, but that's because it wasn't explained to me. Now, in this one, they have the nine Rangers, and then their leader becomes a Ranger, so now they're up to 10. Then they found a kid and his brother, They save the kid and his brother. The kid finds the Rangers and, like, stows away to their ship. So that way then, you know, he can help them because he wants the world to be free of Jark Mata. Yeah, it's literally, that's their villain is Jark Mata.
Okay.
It's supposed to be like the evil empire type of thing. So because he wants to help them save the world, he ends up getting a Kyutama, which ends up being the spirit of the original leader of the resistance who was trying to find the Q-Ranges. And he ends up fusing with him and basically becoming like the Bear Ranger. So because he becomes like the Bear Ranger, they're like, okay, well, you still have to go through the basic training. So they ship him off to go do his own thing. But the entire time there's like comedic elements, you know, strewn about within the shows. But then there's also serious shit because Stinger, the Orange Ranger, is actually trying to find his older brother Scorpio, in which come to find out his older brother Scorpio sold out his
entire race. Became the Xbox One instead.
Well, yeah. Well, no, the Xbox One X.
Yeah, One X.
Yeah. But yeah, no, he's trying to find his older brother Scorpio, who sold out basically the entire race. So that way then he could become a part of Jark Mata. So that way then he could basically go and try to kill off the leader. And he's like, oh, okay, that's cool and all. Well, he wants to kill the leader so he can become the leader.
Right.
And in the process, they end up having a giant fight, and Champ, the fucking the bull guy, he literally ends up dead, in quotes. Like, he's blown the fuck up. Literally, the only thing that's left of him is, like, the torso and the head and half of an arm. Like, he's literally Android 16 dead, in which they're trying to rebuild him and get everything reset. And then, like I said, at the same time, while they're dealing with that, they're also trying to find all, you know, the proper globes, because that's what Kyutama is, you know, basically like globes. So they're trying to find, like, a specific one currently, which, and I know I'm spoiling the entire show now that I'm thinking about it, but... You know, for you guys, because I know, you know, you two and Shane, wherever the fuck he went, you know, you guys probably won't watch this show. But like I said, they're trying to find.
That's not necessarily true. If I could catch myself up
after all of it's out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I've been downloading the episodes so I can, you know, watch them without having to worry about buffer problems and shit like that. Because got to watch them illegally online.
Right.
But, you know, like I said, they're trying to find the globe so they can get this ship. And once they get the ship is supposed to be like the strongest thing fucking ever. So they already had the one Zord. The one Megazord. Then once the leader got his, now they have two Megazords, which can fuse together. So we're going to have to go back through when we get to them on the Robo. If we get to them before the series is over. So something tells me that this next Kyutama is basically going to be a third form of the Megazord, which means more combinations within. And the entire show itself, like I said, you know, they're going through, they're helping people, which is their job, which for Lightspeed Rescue and, you know, other shit like that, where it's let's save the planet and the universe. Okay, you're hitting those marks. For the people who actually enjoy the comedic element, there's a shit ton of that in there. Not only with, you know, Lucky being the luckiest man alive, you know, and constantly shouting it from the rooftops at all points in time, in which they even did an episode where Lucky isn't the luckiest man alive and, like, keeps fucking everything up, like slipping on banana peels in the middle of a fight and fucking busting his ass. And
now, here's the thing. It seems like there's a lot of comedy in this one. And if we've paid attention, what the Sentai usually do is they go so far with the serious mm-hmm. starts to fail them, they do a lighthearted, fun series. And mm-hmm. I'm willing to say that it's not working this time. Because we saw that the Tsukuger did not work out for them.
Yep. Which, like I said, you know,
they did a fun series.
I want to say it's maybe like 60-40 and the split between comedy and being serious.
See, but that's just
there are times
it.
Where Lucky will literally pull a Goku and he'll be like, yeah, this is great. And someone will be like, I can't stop getting my ass kicked. And he'll literally turn to him and be like, motherfucker. And like go into like this hardcore
right.
speech about,
but here's
you know,
the thing.
Being powerful.
Can they, if this doesn't work, because they tried it with Tokuger and it
yeah.
didn't work. It did not save their ratings. Most of the time, from what we just read, they do a lighthearted series, the ratings go back up for the next one.
Mm-hmm.
This time it didn't happen. They're
yep.
all at consistent threes now.
Yeah.
If this series falls into the twos, and they end Super Sentai, would it end Power Rangers for Hess in America, or... Would it usher in a new age where right. America finally makes their own Power Rangers?
Right. I don't think they would. I think they would still borrow from another country's stuff.
That'd be rough
no.
because they've already
okay.
taken what they can take in terms of Japanese.
Okay, in the defense of Super Sentai, and I'm pretty sure the fans can correct me, but... there's two or three shows running at the exact same time within the exact same universe right now. The first is, of course, the Q-Ranger for Sentai. There's Kamen Rider X-Aid. But then there's, like, a third show, but I'm not sure if it's just X-Aid or what. But there's a third show running that's quite literally... Think the Infinity Wars.
Okay.
Like, it's literally... They pull every single Kamen Rider, every single Super Sentai... They put them together, and literally it's like a bracket where each episode is like a different team fighting and working their way up the bracket type of thing. And I haven't watched any of this show, which is the only sad part. The only reason I know about it is because they'll talk about it in commercials like after the episode is over. Because they'll still give you, even online when you download it, they'll still give you like the preview for, hey, check out this other show. If you like, you know, these guys, they're also going to be in this show. Type of thing. And like I said, I haven't seen anything of it, but it looks epic as shit. Because they'll literally have like Kamen Rider X-Aid fight off against like the Q-Ranger. And then like if Q-Ranger loses, then X-Aid moves on, in which case then they'll fight somebody like the Go-Rangers. Or like Go-Rangers will fight off against like a fucking... Car Ranger.
Well, whatever that show is, I would watch a weird versus show. But the
yeah.
real question I'm having here is, if Super Sentai, if this is it, if we are looking, because the ratings have never been this low.
Yeah.
The ratings are awful. Super Sentai is dying, and you can only do this for so many seasons before your productivity or your leeway is gone. Like, the companies will say, you know what, you've had bomb-ass ratings for, like, 12 seasons. So what? You had two bad seasons. We'll figure it out. We'll get you back on track.
Yeah.
Arrow, Smallville, you get the idea.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing, though. If Super Sentai dies, if it flatlines,
yeah.
and America has already taken the footage that we claim is usable, because look, America said they're
yeah.
not doing trains. They can't
yeah.
they can't adapt that footage to work in America. And since they can't, they're not going to do it. So if we find ourselves at a crossroads where the last Sentai has gone and we don't have anything to buy because we've already bought what we're going to do, even if Power Rangers supposedly, just for argument purposes, let's say Power Rangers
yeah.
has better ratings – and looking at the ratings from what I just saw, we could very well have better ratings than threes.
Yeah.
But if we do, and Sentai dies, what happens to Power Rangers? Because I wouldn't be surprised if Power Rangers
yeah.
just had a massive spike in ratings because of that movie.
Yeah. Which, you know, that was kind of the point I was making. It was like a long way to go around. But like I said, they've got the three different shows. So I don't see it happening. But if you are right and fucking Super Sentai flatlines, it's a possibility.
Well, you see, here's the thing.
That
Sentai could flatline.
Yeah.
That doesn't stop Kamen Rider and things from moving on. Because there's been plenty of times when there's been no Rider, but there's been Sentai.
Yeah, that's actually what I was going to say, was it's a possibility that Rangers wouldn't die. Instead, they would take Kamen Rider
and drag it over. They've already done it, and it failed here.
Well, yeah.
It failed twice.
Eh.
And now if you try to do it a third time, you can't take Power Rangers and then tell the guys from Power Rangers, like, you'd be like, hey, do you like Power Rangers? Do you like this teamwork thing we got going on? What about one dude on a bike?
See, that's where I said that maybe Saban might try to pick up something from another country.
So you're thinking they try to hit up, like, oh man, we've seen some of that other country shit, like Band Kids.
Yeah, but then again, if they have been doing them constantly in another country, it might not be that bad.
That gets into some etchy territory too, because if they take like a Chinese series or something like that, I mean, those Chinese series are already copyright like you can't even fucking imagine.
And if Taiwan?
If we were to try to take their stuff and bring it over here, well, it's the same thing. Like, let's say we go to Taiwan and we take those dudes that literally were stolen from fucking Danzebar and we bring it over here and we adapt it. Well, because of the American copyright laws, Saban would then be in a legal battle over Danzebar, because Danzebar exists here. And even though those guys' copyright laws allow them to just steal shit, ours doesn't.
Yep.
So if we brought the stolen Danzebar over here to America and adapted it, we would be shot by lawsuits because the character Danzebar already exists here in America. Yep. He's an American character.
However, at the same time, a thought occurs. If Sentai dies in Japan, but Power Rangers keeps up on, you know, its, oh, well, fucking high ratings, it's not a stretch to say that with all the different, like, Power Ranger groups out there, they might turn to them and try to make them, like, legitimate Rangers, almost like the unofficial Akiba Rangers, only, like, try to turn it into, like, an actual American series
done by these dudes. There's a lot of the Japanese series we can't do because of the references. Like, okay, when you're selling Power Rangers, we Americanize Power Rangers. Because of that, almost everything Japanese is lost in it. But if there's a lot of series that are very, very Japanese, like the Tokuger, that's very Japanese. We cannot adapt that and say, hey, this is an American show. It won't work. And the unofficial, they hang out in anime stores and shit like that, which is, quite frankly, not an American thing. Yes, anime has become a bigger deal here, but we can't adapt something that continually references anime because we're not selling it to the anime audience.
No. You misunderstand. I'm not saying take the Akiba Rangers. I'm saying go to the Power Rangers of Illinois and go, hey, would you guys want to make your own Ranger show? You guys got your own team, your own personalized costumes, your own shit like that. How about you make it for the kids?
Okay,
but
I've seen that.
Let's go to the fucking California
Rangers. But here's the reason I'll say that won't work. The only reason I'll say that won't work is because time and time again we have seen that the professional circuit does not like fan projects. No matter how good they may be, they won't do it. Because Hollywood is threatened by the idea that a fan-associated product could produce the same quality they could. They're scared of it. I'm positive they're scared of it.
Yeah.
That's why things like Paramount came down. Look, don't give me that bullshit. There's a line of bullshit going around that Paramount struck hard because of Axanar. Axanar was wrong. This dude basically claimed that he was going to make this big, great fucking movie. He cut a trailer. A bunch of fans donated. And he went and spent the money. He made that money, he spent that money, he enjoyed that money. He made money off of Star Trek, and that was not okay. So Paramount, in order to stop this from ever happening again, came down on every fucking fan project across the board in the last fucking 20 years.
Yeah.
That's bull fucking shit. What happened was they saw their opportunity to stop the fan projects in their tracks because they were just about to do Star Trek Discovery, and they didn't want the possibility that something like Star Trek Discovery or Star Trek, like they want Star Trek Discovery to work. They don't want to be in league fighting Star Trek the New Voyages or Star Trek Continues. They don't want to fight with those guys because those guys know Star Trek better than Star Trek knows Star Trek now.
Yep.
So they shut them down so that their mediocre Star Trek that's about to come out can be top of the line.
Yep.
And I'm still under the impression from the commercials I've seen that whatever that show is that we're about to get is not going to be Star Trek. It's going to be a rough imitation of what the Kelvin universe or people today think Star Trek is.
Hell, for all we know, that new Seth MacFarlane show
is probably going to be more Star Trek than Star Trek.
Yeah.
More Galaxy Quest than Star Trek.
And Galaxy Quest is Star Trek.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, we won't know until we see it.
So, that's the thing here, is that the reason I'm really wondering is because you can't ask this about other series, because the way Power Rangers works is we steal some footage. Well, we don't steal it. We buy it. But we take footage. We take American actors. We create a story that has absolutely nothing to fucking do with what the footage we had says it is. And then we use that stock footage and we create a new product by only filming half of an actual series. So, because of that, I don't think Power Rangers could survive if Super Sentai shut down. Because all of a sudden it would be on Saban's shoulders to make all of it. Or they'd have to do what you just said, Scott. They'd have to cut over to another country. But if they
find
did
some
that,
other random country that they could get from.
But that comes down to copyright laws.
Yep.
The copyright laws are different for different countries, and we just happen to be close enough to Japan's copyright laws that we don't have to worry too much. But even then, we highly change the things that we receive because we're like, ooh, that might be trouble. Like when they brought Street Fighter II over here, because that dude's name was Bison, and we had a boxer named Tyson, they were like, ooh, we're getting sued.
Yep.
So they had to change his name. They had to change three characters' names to make Street Fighter work here in America. Because General M. Bison is actually Vega. And the boxer was actually Bison.
And then Bison was Bullrog.
And Vega was Bullrog.
Yep.
So they switched those names around so that we don't get sued. And
then they put a wheelchair and a mohawk on it.
Right. So it makes me wonder if this happens, and I don't want it to happen, but let's be honest, unless you're the Simpsons, nothing lasts forever. And I
Simpsons
think
did it.
And I think the Simpsons only survived today because people were programmed to watch it.
It's not going to last forever.
Everybody that grew up in the early 90s was trained by their family, hey, at 7 o'clock, we're going to watch The Simpsons. So they just did that. And Simpsons is still on television because people are still watching. Why are people watching? Because they've watched their whole life. And they just keep doing it. And it has nothing to do with whether The Simpsons are good or bad. It's just like Saturday Night Live. Why are people watching it? Because they watch it. And that's it. There's no reason that Saturday Night Live should even exist anymore. By now, there should be a more – by now, you could Saturday Night Live, you could delete that, and you could make the
– Sunday Night Live.
No, you could make Saturday Night Live YouTube and post fucking YouTube things on Saturday night. Like every Saturday, they upload 5 or 6 skits, and they just get money from YouTube. And it would be the exact same thing because, honestly, the only reason people watch Saturday Night Live at all – is because people have always watched Saturday Night Live. But sooner or later, these things that are because I grew up with it, they do die.
Yep. Yeah.
And Super Sentai could be nearing its death. That doesn't mean that all these things will go away. Something will come and take its place of the tokusatsu nature, and that will continue. But Super Sentai might be on the verge of death. And if it dies, because America has such a strange hybrid show that seems to only work with Japanese footage, because we've tried other things before, and it's failed.
Yeah, the big bad billboards.
Kamen Rider.
Yep. Beetleborgs, the Rider.
VR Troopers.
Yeah. Yep. We've tried to take these other concepts and make them work in the same way, and they don't work. They fail over here. Only Power Rangers works. I don't know why. It is the way. It's something weird about the common person that's watching. That's because you gotta, when you're a fan, you're gonna say, oh, I guarantee it'd work because I'm a fan and I want it to work. But the truth of the matter is this. It is the common person that gives us our ratings. Comic book movies are successful because of common people. If the common person does not go to the comic book movie, and it is the greatest comic book film ever put on tape, and we go watch it because it's so accurate, it blows our minds, but that random dude over there doesn't go see it because he's like, I don't get this. What is this? I don't even understand this. I'm done. The movie fails. The movie fails because it can't continue. And Here in America, there's a weird thing with Power Rangers where that's what succeeded. Nothing else does. If Sentai dies, what will happen to Power Rangers?
Wait.
I'm curious what people think about that in our comments and whatnot.
I just thought something. When you talk about how some comic book fans would love to see like an actual main source movie based on their stuff.
Right.
And they can't really do that with movies. But animated movie, could they try an animated series with Sentai and Power Rangers?
See, now that, here's the thing. I actually have been on the pushing point to claim that this is something that could work if they animated the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, because the comic book is a big deal. It is working, and it is magnificent. They could go back to series like Mighty Morphin, and they could do a continuation of those characters in animated form. And they could go all the way back to the original with Trini and everything. They would have to get a voice actor, of course, and most of the other guys will not reprise their roles. So we'll have to, our senses would have to adapt to the fact that the voices are different, that it's not them. Because I have a hard time believing that Jason David Frank is going to drop what he's doing to come voice Tommy on a weekly basis, because let's be honest, Ninja Turtles can't hold on to their guys either. Because Ninja Turtles, we've changed Leonardo's voice actor like 5 times.
Yeah.
Because we get these big names and they come in and they're like, you know, actually I've got something else I gotta do. Out. And then they'll have to make up a reason why all of a sudden somebody's voice changed. Like last time they broke Leonardo's shell and they claimed that the resonating voice that comes out is different because the shell is different now. That's how they got away with changing his voice actor, is they broke his shell.
Yep. So they were able to get away with making it Seth Green, who does damn near nothing but voice acting, which is why he's able to keep doing it.
Right.
However, off Scott's point, and your point, now that I think about it, if they animate it, they could go back to Mighty Morphin. You know what else they could do? They could go back to Battle Fever J, where in animation, it looks good. Think of that fan picture we had. Because compared to the bitch who's got a fucking wig on top of a helmet, that doesn't look good.
Well, I will say this. It surprises me that Super Sentai does not have an anime form. You'd imagine that by now somebody had to have brought up, why don't we animate it? We could do bigger monsters.
They did it with Kamen Rider, didn't they? With the chibi Kamen Riders.
It was more of like a one-time cutesy show thing, but yes, they did animate it one time. And then he has mangas, to be fair. Kamen Rider has mangas.
Yep.
Super Sentai does not, that I know of. Super Sentai does not have mangas.
Although, watch you say that, and then the comments are going to be flooded with links to mangas for.
That would be awesome. If you could get, if that's real, if that's a real thing, and there are mangas, and they are fan translated, I would read them. Because here's the thing about animation and manga. Nothing is restricted. Here in America and in Japan, if you have a live actor, he can only do what a live actor can do. But, If you want to get Attack on Titans in these Rangers, and you want to run up the monster's back because your Zord is down, and you want to do crazy, wicked things where the five Rangers have to work together to take down a giant monster because the Zords have been damaged, you can get away with that in animation. It would look cheesy. Yeah, it would look cheesy and awful in actual live
that's
action.
That's actually kind of not a lie. In the last episode where they teamed up with the fucking SPD Rangers, fucking there's literally a scene where that silver guy that Shane doesn't like, who now in motion is the most badass motherfucker I've ever seen on the face of the planet, literally jumps on the top of his Zord and rides it down to go kill the fucking monster. So Lucky goes, that's a great idea. Hey, Commander. And the Commander comes down on his dragon because the silver guy's got a dragon. So he jumps up on top of the fucking leader's fucking dragon. And he goes, hey, man, let's do this. And they both fire a fucking beam attack and kill the fucking monster. Meanwhile, the entire time you could tell it's all blue screen so they can put the CG of the fucking Zords around them and fucking... what is it? Lucky, like, jumps off the dragon and fucking does, like, you can tell it's, like, wire work, fucking sits, like, pretends to sit down in, like, a blue chair type of thing so he can go into his ball to fucking fly away.
So
it's
they try. They try.
If this wasn't
but
a good show and I'm buying into this, this would look like shit to anybody else.
But it does surprise me that animation has not been discussed for Super Sentai. And also, if you did an animation with Super Sentai, you could do incredible crossovers. You could do massive crossovers into Kamen Rider and shit like that. But here in America, if we went animated, we could go back to series that we've left behind. And you wouldn't have to worry about the guys being 40 and 50 years old. Because they could be teenagers.
You also wouldn't have to worry about the fucking footage looking like it's clearly something ripped out of the 1970s on that old grainy stock footage like a fucking Bruce Lee film.
Oh my God.
No offense to Bruce Lee films, but you could tell that they did not age well.
You keep what are you doing?
It's like, oh wait, we've kind of had it animated in a horrible way already. That super freaking what the fuck parody.
That is not the same idea. That is a Flash series.
But it's a horrible animation, though.
But then it makes you wonder, if you looked up fan projects, they have to exist. They have to exist. There has to be serious fan projects of Power Rangers.
Because there's even like some anime styles of Doctor Who, Star Wars.
Yeah.
I mean,
Those are official, though.
No, there was somebody did a fan one of just like the X-Wing in actual anime style.
Yeah, but that's still official. That's not a fan film. That TIE Fighter? TIE Fighter was an actual movie, if I remember right. There's even a game called TIE Fighter. Because there was a video game called TIE Fighter, and then I think that just kind of like the Animatrix, where it's like a 15-minute short, that's the extent of what it was, but it was given to a Japanese animation studio. Unless I'm thinking of something completely different, but most of the time, when you're talking anime in the private circuit, like guys like me and you, that's done with Flash animation.
Yeah.
And it's nowhere near as good as an actual anime is.
Yeah. I was about to say, the only issue I can think of with animation
would be Japan would have to do it, so that way then we can copy it over and just dub over it like we always do. Because if we were to do it here in America, one of three things could happen. One, it could become CGI dog shit that looks like dog shit. Two, it could become Teen Titans Go style animation. Oh. Yeah. Or three, they could actually get up off their asses and, I don't know, actually get real good cell animators to actually, you know, animate the shit by hand. Don't get me wrong.
To be fair, all they do is they'd write the script and then they'd send it to a Japanese studio. That's just like people think Batman was an American cartoon. It was not. Every single one of those episodes was they made the blueprints, then they would send it out to a Japanese animation studio who would make the episode and send it back to us.
Yeah, that's actually the reason with every cartoon almost. Yeah.
That's the reason the cartoon is out of order. If you watch the original releases, they're out of order. Like the first season, the very first episode that we actually got back from the animation studios was the Man-Bat. That was technically the first episode, but if you watch it on TV, it was not the first episode aired.
Yep, because I remember listening to John Kay sit down on a podcast and talk about how, when we were making Ren and Stimpy, we could only do so many in-house layouts like the old days of Looney Tunes. After that, so many of them had to go over to Korea or Taipei or wherever, so that way then they could just do the cells however they were going to do the cells for the cartoon. It was like, that's the reason why in like Stimpy's Breakfast, when he digs into the fucking cereal to get the prize out, he puts the hand in, wiggles it, wiggles it, wiggles it, and then pulls out the prize. He was like, that shit pissed me off. But because the animators forgot to clean up his eyes or they thought something was weird, they made like black eyes on Stimpy and black eyes on Ren. Like the eyelids were full black because they didn't know what the fuck. And they were like, that looks creepy as shit. Leave it in.
Right.
So, shit like that, okay, yeah. But if they go with, you know.
We're at an hour and 20 minutes, so we do have to wrap.
Yeah, no shit. I needed to go to bed a half hour ago. crap.
So I think that's it. Gonna have to cut us in the middle of what we're doing, but if you guys have comments, section below, please get to it. Because we just dropped a lot of stuff here, and I am interested to know if there are mangas or anything like that. I'm interested to know what kind of fan projects exist that are good. I'm interested to know what you believe if Super Sentai, and this is all major theoretical, don't get all worried and give me a million reasons as to why they're not going away and show me unbelievable, irrefutable evidence or something like that that this can never happen, but should something happen to the Super Sentai and that show shuts down, where do we go from here? I'm interested to hear these ideas.
Hold up real quick. Pascot, make sure you copy the link that I sent that Bill used to like read off all the information, so that way then future Scott can post it in the description, so if the fans don't understand why we were reading what we were reading, they can read the same fucking article off of Reddit that we just read with all the fucking stats.
If that's the case, Seth, send me the link on like Facebook Messenger.
Yeah, he'll need it.
I think it's still on my phone.
Okay.
Hey guys, did you like that podcast? If so, remember to check out FandomKnight.com. At FandomKnight.com, you can drop a line to this show, or you could check out other podcasts as well. We cover all kinds of topics, everything from comic books, wrestling, movies, TV shows, video games, animes, mangas. It's outrageous. We seem to have a podcast for just about everything, and you have access to it just by going over to FandomKnight.com. So check it out, guys. We're going to get out of here.